And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. Some ambient tones on the pedal steel by Barry Walker Jr. A special visit with North Dakota Broadcast Journalism Hall of Famer Terry Doolum. Plus, Juno singer-songwriter Kim Moberg, Georgia singer-songwriter Diane Call, and I'm going to play you one of my brand new tunes entitled Some Buckets. I'm Tom Russo. Thanks for being here today. We begin with the Amber Grove, a band I really love out of San Luis Obispo. Have you ever been to San Luis Obispo, California before? If you haven't, it is one of the best kept secrets on the 101 in California. I used to play there in San Luis Obispo quite a lot back in the day. It has a rich music scene, and that's not just limited to bands and clubs. It's home to some really famous instrument manufacturers like Ernie Ball and National Guitar. And there was this really cool boutique acoustic pickup manufacturer there called Highlander. Love that pickup. San Luis Obispo is kind of a mysterious place. It's not quite Northern California. It's not quite Southern California, but it's in between Northern and Southern, which is not unlike the seasons that come between the seasons, or like the light that lingers just after the sun's gone down, but before the moon has totally shown itself fully. They call that the anti-twilight. And I kind of think of San Luis Obispo as the anti-twilight. Its in-betweenness makes it special. The Amber Grove sent in some awesome tunes recorded from there, but first let me play this cool one. It's called Big Morning.
What's up, everybody? This is Anton from the band Amber Grove, and I'm really happy to be on here. I would say that my favorite place to go and write songs in my head would probably be Joshua Tree National Park, but There's nothing better than recording songs in your own private studio where you have all your accessories and gear around you and you can just put pen to paper in a matter of seconds. So I'd say my own home studio is probably my favorite place to write. But I love songwriting with others and collaboration. Currently doing some songwriting with fellow podcaster and musician Chris Lambert, who was previously a guest on this show as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to releasing some new music. But for now, what you're about to hear are two live songs from our recent debut album called I Love You as a Bright Horizon. The first of the two is called Recessive, and the second one is called Kimabe, and they're both coming at you hot live.
Deep is blue and the wet is dew. I was born in spring. It was organic, it was volcanic. Might you come around, might you settle down, might you stay in town. A recessive gene, and it can't help me. What do I believe? Tell me all the reasons you can't think straight. I don't really feel that I'm unlucky. When you're woven like the moon inside your stomach. Tell me what you think that I'm not saying. My tongue is wrapped up in your refraining. And I'm tired and I'm worried and I'm praying. It was volcanic. Burned on fertile ground in your serpent tongue. It's your darkest hour. I'm just tired. Ooh. I thought I said all the right things, but even then it won't mean a thing. Woven like the moon inside your stomach. Oh. If your brush was thin, where did
It's the Great American Folk Show. Singer-songwriter Kim Moberg credits her parents for inspiring her to play music. Her mother was into show tunes and her father was into country. And I think this is a really interesting combination. As the best Broadway writers, they always employ brevity and catchy choruses. And the best country writers, they always employ truth. If you can write songs and you can follow in these footsteps, then I think you've got it made. You've got the best of both worlds. Certainly, you'll hear that when you hear Kim Moberg. She joins us now from Juneau, Alaska.
Of loneliness, good women. I'm Kim Moberg. I'm an Alaska native born in Juneau to a mother of Tlingit descent and a Coast Guard veteran father from Kansas. Music was my best friend while growing up, helping me to adjust to all the moves associated with living in a military family. My mom was a classical pianist whose influence guided my lifelong love for a wide range of musical sounds, from jazz to folk. My father is a country fan, and he exposed me to artists like Johnny Cash and Hank Williams. I started playing guitar at age 14 on a borrowed nylon six-string. Later, I taught myself to fingerpick to my favorite tunes by singer-songwriters of the 70s. But debilitating stage fright kept me from pursuing my own career of becoming a professional performer. In 2014, after almost two decades in the banking industry, I decided it was time to overcome that stage fright, and I wrote my first song. Since then, I've had the incredibly good fortune to team with Grammy-nominated producer John Evans, who is best known for his work with Tori Amos and Sarah McLachlan, to record four albums. My third album, titled The Seven Fires Prophecy, Suite for Humanity, retells the ancient yet relevant Anishinaabe legend in song. The legend teaches that in order for us to survive as a species, we must learn to live with respect and in harmony with people of all races and with our environment. This journey of Indigenous learning is a lifelong endeavor that will continue to be reflected in my art throughout my career. My newest release, called All That Really Matters, contains more personal songs that cover the arc of human emotion and experiences. The production soundscapes are as varied as the song topics, from blues to full orchestration. I had the pleasure of collaborating with my older daughter Rachel, along with my friends Stephanie McKay and Lydia Harrell, on harmony vocals, and sisters Eve and Thea Samaha on cello and violin. Good Women, Cheatin' Men came from the many times I've witnessed female family members and friends endure betrayal and, for whatever reasons, chose to stay in a toxic relationship. The album's opener, I'll Always Be a Friend, was inspired by Carole King's You've Got a Friend, and is a tribute to those very few close friends I had growing up and new friends I've made through music. I hope you enjoy this acoustic version of I'll Always Be a Friend. Here you're having cloudy days and you're feeling low. It's hard to find the silver lining beyond the storm. I knew there's a better place not far on the other side. The skies are clear, the sun is shining, and days are warm. So put your hand in mine, we'll take it one step at a time, and lay your troubles along the side of life's long road. I know whatever lies ahead, you can count on me into the end. No matter where the road may bend or winds may blow, I'll always be a friend. Wish I had the answers to the questions ailing you, and if I could, I'd bear the pain you're going through. We can take some time to talk and sing a song or two and find some comfort in the words that are ringing true.
put your hand in mine. We'll deal it one step at a time and lay your troubles alongside of life's long road. I know whatever lies ahead, you can count on me until the end. No matter where the road may bend or winds may blow, I'll always be a friend. You don't have to be alone as long as I'm around, 'cause I'll be there to share the load. So lay your worries down. Put your head in mine. We'll teeter one step at a time and lay your troubles along the side of life's long road. And know whatever lies ahead, can count on me until the end. No matter where the road may bend or winds may blow, I'll always be a friend. I'll always be.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Tom Brousseau. Our next guest is Barry Walker Jr. He's released a handful of remarkable records since the early 2000s, and his latest is no exception. Paleo Solo, it's called, and it's on Thrill Jockey. And I love this record label. This is my dream label. They've released, oh, many great records by contemporary greats such as John Parrish, whom I've worked with before, and a drummer named Jim White. And then they had this band on their label for a while called Future Islands. And if you've not ever heard of Future Islands before, go to the internet and search them out and then type in The Late Show with David Letterman. And I bet you $10 the song that I'm thinking of will pop up and will probably change your whole world. It's so great.
Seasons change.
Back to Barry Walker Jr. What makes him so unique is his musical voice. He plays the pedal steel guitar, these beautiful instrumentals that just so thoughtfully support his favorite genres, jazz and ambient music and Americana. And the other thing cool about Barry is he's into rock formations. Yes, it's a sideline for a musician. I think being in geology is a pretty cool thing to do. And I'm guessing that also means that this guy's a rock hound. And these people fascinate me. These are the people that can spot precious gems in what looks like a sea of endless, colorless gravel to you and me. My brother, Ben, is someone I would classify as a rock hound. And I must admit, I did not understand the passion behind it until one day I saw his face totally light up at an Arizona roadside trinket shop. And I said, "Hey, Ben, what is so special about that rock that you're holding?" He had this little blue stone and he held it up to the sun and he said, This thing is the key to another world. It's spiritual, it's mysterious. And right now, Tommy, nobody has this thing but me right now." Here's Barry Walker Jr. with A Trip Into Town.
Thank you. Hello, Barry Walker here from Portland, Oregon. Thanks, Tom, for having me on the Great American Folk Show out of Fargo, North Dakota, Prairie Public. My wife is actually from North Dakota, a little town called Mohall, which is, I don't know, about 45 minutes north of Minot. And I've been there a few times. Beautiful country, beautiful state. I'm a geologist. I was just looking at the geologic map of North Dakota. Got a lot of sedimentary rocks. It seems like every time sea level went way up, y'all got a dose of the deposition. Fargo's in the Red River Valley, it looks like. I'd love to go there someday. Appreciate you playing my music on the show. This album, Paleo Sol, comes out on January 30th on Thrill Jockey Records. And the track that I provided you, it's an example of the kind of thing that I do at home. It sort of contrasts with the songs on the record, because those are like, the melodies are intentionally written, you know, there are melodies there. And the track I provided you, which I've called Wind Chill in honor of North Dakota, the Wind Chill track is more of a meditation. And there are definitely some meditations on the record, so check that out. But there are more sort of melodic. And so, you know, this is a folk and country show, and I'm a big fan of folk and country music. I listen to a lot of it. I've sung a lot of it in the past. I used to sing hymns growing up in the Baptist church in Tennessee. It's where I grew up. I'm a big fan of bluegrass music, and I'm a fool for a three-part harmony. Yeah, I also want to give a shout out to my collaborators on the Paleo Sol record, Rob Smith on drums and Jason Wilmun on bass guitar. These are wonderful players, intensely creative and challenging, and the record would not be what it was without those two guys. Again, thank you, Tom, for playing the song, and thanks to everybody for listening, and I hope everybody's going to have a good winter. Peace from Portland, Oregon, Barry Walker.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. We continue with the Great American Folk Show and great voices and a great tune about putting the pieces back together again. Here's singer-songwriter Diane Call.
Hello, everyone. This is Diane Call coming to you from the Atlanta, Georgia area. And thank you, Tom, for having me back on your wonderful Great American Folk Show. Now, as a songwriter, what I love about the creative process is that I never know when inspiration will strike or where it will come from. That muse really has a life of its own, and I love capturing it. So a little over a year ago, I came across this article describing a Japanese art form that was created to help people move through loss, grief, and heartbreak. Being a songwriter and therapist, this is right up my alley. The art form is called Kintsugi, and I'll spell it out for you so you can Google it and look at all of these beautiful pieces of art. It's spelled K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I. Basically, what you do in this special studio is you're given a piece of pottery, like a vase or a bowl. You smash it to the floor. That's got to feel good. Then you pick up all the broken pieces. You then put it all back together using gold-flecked glue. Once the pieces are glued, the pottery is refired in a kiln. And when it comes out, you have a piece of pottery that is fully transformed, a new piece of art that is more beautiful and valuable than when it was in its original form. Now you can still see the broken lines, but they're no longer broken. And those golden lines are what makes the piece unique. So after I read this article, I thought, now that's a song. Because what a metaphor for human resilience and the magic of alchemy. Creativity in any form is alchemy. And when we allow ourselves to go through the fire in order to heal from pain, we come out of the fire transformed and more beautiful. So the song I'm about to play for you was inspired by what I just shared with you, and it's called Porcupine.
Sudden and without sound, crashed onto cold ground. It was there I met Porcupine, so I brought her inside. Here it goes again, the gold will glue remnants, these broken shards. Blue in all its splendor, beautiful resilience, move up to the fire. Being human in this world, see a big picture pearls. Quills protect the soft inside and also pierce for light. Here it goes again, the gold will glue remnants, these broken shards. Blue in all its splendor, beautiful resilience, we move through the fire. With no end yet inside, fear not, my porcupine. We'll get through one breath at a time. Here it goes again, the gold will glue and rinse these broken shards. Blue in all its splendor, beautiful resilience made it through the fire.
Earlier this month, I had the pleasure of hosting a show in Grand Forks, North Dakota at the Empire Arts Center, and it was devoted to one of our local celebrities and state icons, Terry Doolum. Terry shared stories from his 40-plus years in broadcast journalism for a sold-out crowd. It was a cozy evening, and Terry was in top form as he waxed nostalgic about his upbringing in the farming community of Hillsboro, North Dakota. His trip to Beverly Hills to interview Peggy Lee, who is also one of our state's celebrities. Peggy Lee was from Wimbledon, North Dakota. And his reporting on the 97 flood, for which he was bestowed the prestigious Edward R. Murrow Award. In addition to hosting the show, I also performed a song that I penned for the occasion called Some Buckets. And I thought it would be kind of fun to have Terry back on the show today to relive some of the evening's highlights and then cap it all off by performing that song one last time. You don't have to be a local to enjoy the wit and wisdom of Terry Doolum. Will you tell us, Terry, a bit about your background, where you came from, and if you had a big family or not?
Well, it's pretty North Dakota. My immediate family was normal. It was me and my brother. But my father's family had 18 brothers and sisters, 10 boys, 8 girls, and they grew up on a farm near Hillsboro. They grew their own free farm labor, apparently, and we used to have these family reunion picnics at Lindenwood Park in Fargo, and we would fill up the park.
Did you excel at any one subject in particular?
None at all. None at all. I graduated from UND without honors and forced my way into broadcasting eventually. So I started out in a Bismarck television station doing news and reporting and anchoring and all of that. After a couple of years, it was late at night. It was Sunday night, about 10:30. Got a call from my news director and he said, "Let's go have a cup of coffee." Coffee, 10:30 Sunday night? Yeah. And he said, "I have to let you go." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" "Well, because the owner of the company doesn't like the way you look on television." Well, I didn't especially like the way I looked on television either, but there's only so much you can do about that. So I was fired on a Sunday night at 10:30 at the Woodhouse Restaurant in Bismarck, North Dakota.
All because you didn't have the look. I mean, what look was it that they were going for?
Beats me. If I knew, I would have gone for it. But the interesting part of the story to me is that the young woman who took my place in the anchor position was the news director's girlfriend. So, you know, broadcasting.
Well, it led to an opportunity, perhaps, and you went on from there to do other things.
They say, you know, and it's a cliche, but you really should be fired once in your life, at least, because it does build character. But it also, in my case, it led me to where I was supposed to be.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Great American Folk Show. I'm Tom Russo. We're visiting with Terry Doolam, local celebrity here in Grand Forks, North Dakota, one of our state's treasures, and indeed a true hero. As we're sitting here, I see an award on your mantelpiece, and I know what that award is. And you've won lots of awards. You and your team have won lots of awards. One of them in particular I'd like to talk about, that's the Edward R. Murrow Award. They don't just give that award out to anybody. This is when a reporter goes to the extremes, puts his or herself, her health on the line to get the story for an extended period of time. Can you talk about that award and what it was like to receive it?
Well, we got it for our flood coverage in 1997, and it's not mine, it's ours. It's and most of the awards that I've gotten have been team coverage, group efforts, that sort of thing, and that's what the Murrow Award was for. There was a veteran ABC news correspondent, Erin Hayes, who came through our station during the flood. Several of them did, but she was there for the longest time, and she saw us. And we gave them space in our conference room to work, the network. And she would come back two or three times a day to our newsroom, and she would look around, and she wouldn't say anything. She wouldn't talk to anybody. And I thought, well, she's being a little bit aloof. But I found out later, really what she was doing was giving us space to do our work. But after she left Grand Forks, weeks later, in fact, towards the end of the year, after we had gotten the award, she wrote a very, very nice letter to the newsroom that said, of all the names of winners, she said, I think yours is the most deserving. And that meant a lot to me. And it's one of the few little souvenirs, that letter that I kept from the flood. Like I say, most of the awards that I've gotten have been group awards, and that's the way I like it.
I remember that team well. Most of us do here in Grand Forks who turned on the TV regularly at 5. This awesome team, Pat Sweeney, Jane Joyce. I remember this team. You grew up with this team. These are the people on the TV that tell you everything's going to be okay, or that tell you this incident that happened right in your own backyard that you never knew anything about. What a team it was, Terry.
Well, we thought it was important. Management, ownership, management, and us sort of grunts all thought it was important that we be in Grand Forks during the flood and that people see us in Grand Forks. Meaning, if they saw us here as tired and as disheveled as we looked, we would give people some sort of hope that they would have something to come back to. If we were there, they would have something to come back to. And that was always in the back of my mind, and I think other people too thought that was important.
I wanted to ask you about some of the political people that you've interviewed. I'm pretty sure that I'm right in thinking this, that you interviewed President of the United States, Bill Clinton.
Well, he was here. He came here along with, I think, his entire cabinet about a week after the flood. I didn't talk to him as such, but I covered his arrival in Air Force One on live television and that sort of thing. And I didn't have much time to prepare for it that day. I was told rather late in the game that you're going to be doing this. And I was mad at myself and mad at the world and all of that, but we got through it, so.
But even though at that point in your career, you'd done it for years and years and years, you still kind of got down on yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. The president that I remember, his former president, was Jimmy Carter. And he was doing one of his Habitat for Humanity builds in Winnipeg years after he was president. And so we went up to cover that. There was a press conference, and then we were told, you know, please don't talk to the president. He's working and all of this. But he came to where I was standing, which was next to the coffee table, and he got himself a cup of coffee. And I thought, oh, the heck with it. I'm going to talk to Jimmy Carter. So I said, Mr. President, do you think you're going to be able to finish all of these 24 houses or whatever it was in a week? Oh, yeah. And we struck up a little conversation about how to build houses. And it was fascinating to me because he really knew what he was talking about. Yeah, we'll put the rafters up tomorrow and we'll do this and this and this and we'll finish on Friday. And he knew how to build houses. It wasn't a photo op for him and Rosalind. They really had learned how to build houses. So in addition to being president of the United States, he was a pretty good carpenter too.
Who was the most interesting person do you think that you interviewed in your time? Or one of, I would say, one of.
He's an entertainer, but he really, I think, in some ways changed my life. I got to spend an afternoon with Tony Bennett, and he really knew how to enjoy his life. When he wasn't singing, he was painting. When he wasn't painting, he was singing. And he wasn't the first to adopt the philosophy of, if you enjoy what you're doing, you won't work a day in your life. But he really believed that. And a little bit of that rubbed off on me that day. And my philosophy was more like, well, if you can't enjoy all of every day, at least enjoy a little part of your day. Try to carve out a little piece of the day. He influenced me quite a lot. As well as being just a charming, wonderful, down-to-earth singer.
Well, Terry Doolam, thank you again for this little chat. Certainly, this has been one of my favorite parts of my day, being over here and visiting with you. So thank you so much for being on the show, my old friend.
Thank you, Tom. We'll see you soon.
Riding on your electric bike, on top of the earthen dike, the train at the rail bridge is making you deaf. It disappears in the steam from the sugar and eating GF. Well, some bucket's got a hole up in it, some bucket's overflowing with it, and there's only so much time left to show. Well, how you will make the world glow. Well, she gave you a note and said, don't open it, not until I say when. So you became the guardian of mystery. A year after that, she said, give back that note to me. Well, some bucket's got a hole up in it, some bucket's overflowing with it, and there's only so much time left to show. Well, how you will make the world glow. Cooks in the kitchen, and now you're wondering about which one you're gonna kick out. Dial the appropriate numbers of the hotline. Or come sit next to me to hear my design. Well, some buckets got a hole up in it, some buckets overflowing with it, and there's only so much time left to show how you will make the That's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we'd like to thank our guests, the Amber Grove, Kim Moberg, Barry Walker Jr., Diane Call, and of course, the great Terry Doom. The Great American Folk Show was produced and edited by Eric Dethridge. Our talent producer is Mary Jones out of Chicago. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Our sponsors today and for the next little while include the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. My name is Tom Brousseau. May you always find that beautiful old lucky sun until we meet again. Thank you.